Views expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. Listener discretion is advised.
Achtung! Dismissed! No, you nitwit!
Yes, we're back on the air.
Chavez is a radio man.
He's a radio mom.
And it sounds like they're unionizing the interns down there.
You think so?
Yeah, the people on the English translation. It is amazing to think of this huge battle between Chavez and his competitor, and then you hear their English translation, and then you think of the Alma Comba, it's equal to the same level.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be coverage of a big political struggle at Alma Comba tonight.
Right.
It'd be on the same level.
Congratulations, socialists!
Bush would be winking. He'd be meeting with Ben Maroney in 2 weeks, winking at Daniel Bichard, who's on assignment.
Organic,
the buffoon, Stephen Harper in Canada.
Congratulations, socialists!
The Banana Split Club will now come to order. Quiet! Order! Quiet! Order! Order! Order!
Hey, legs, why all the yelling? We didn't say a word.
Oh, I'm sorry. You guys are usually talking when I call the club to order.
Yeah, well, this time we're as quiet as a mouse, right, Bingo?
Right, Trooper. Quiet as three little mouses.
Hi there. Did you send for the mouse exterminator?
Yeah, the mouse exterminator's there.
That's fantastic, Greg. When I was at the, that meeting in November, 1st of November last fall, when I ran for community rep, it was like that. The board had to keep telling, order, order, as all the anarchists were there in the audience, interrupting and demanding, what is it, protocols or Robert's rules and all this stuff.
And they've got it all wrong. They don't have a clear vision of it. They haven't studied. They're just going, I object to, this is not democratic. In my view of democracy, which is where me and my friends get together and decide what the rules are going to be for everybody else, I feel that this is not democratic. So because there are other people who might have different rules, then that would be undemocratic. So therefore, this meeting is illegitimate and must not proceed because my view of democracy is the perfect view of democracy and yours is not. Even if you invoke the word democracy, it cannot follow through and I will not follow the bylaws because they are inherently undemocratic.
And they're literate.
Right, and they have not been. I realize that they have been adopted by Industry Canada to approve, but I don't respect that Industry Canada nor the government of Canada has any jurisdiction over this particular area. But if I start running into problems with the organization, then I will immediately go to Industry Canada and demand assurances that things be made democratic and part of Industry Canada protocols as long as they suit me. There.
And my eight friends agree with me.
Yes, and that's all that counts. Especially the leader of our anarchist group. Oops, I made a mistake. Yes, we're all in consensus with one another, and we are all together on this. We have come to consensus, and we have no leadership. Yes.
I love this. People are going to be tuning in to see Kid and thinking of listening to CFRB or something. I mean, the satire is incredible here.
Okay. You are on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Dave Four here again.
Thank you, Dave Four.
Listen, regarding Barack Obama and his inauguration date, it's fast approaching in January, and the stage is already being built in the west front of the U.S. Capitol in Washington. The good people from Home Depot and Lowe's are making the stage. They're donating all the plywood, the nails, the labor to get this thing done. Over 3 million people are expected to...
5 million now.
Up to 5 million people. Yeah. There'll be scalpers out on Pennsylvania Avenue scalping Obama inauguration tickets.
And every community station in the country will be there broadcasting with their interns.
Absolutely. It'll be something else out of this world. It's a lot like 1969, man landing on the moon. The same type of thing.
It's Grand Park in reverse. Abby Hoffman lives.
Absolutely. You know that Calvin Coolidge speaking on radio? He was the first broadcast on national radio. Calvin Coolidge was on national radio back in 1925 when CKLN covered that inauguration a long time ago. I'll give you the...
That was when I was station manager.
Absolutely. Listen, how much wood would it take to build this stage for Barack? It's a lot of plywood to make sure all the struts and supports are right. My hat goes off to the people of Home Depot, Lowe's, and Building Supply for getting this thing done. That's all
for
Dave.
Watch Black Entertainment, Andy. Watch the Black Entertainment channel on that day.
BET will be there, too?
Yes.
Oh, good, good, good.
Bucky Robinson, James Brown, all the dead ones, all the living ones.
He'll be the first president who will be inaugurated to a hip-hop background soundtrack. That'll be good. A lot of good music in the air. Visit Day 4 at day4.com. Bye for now.
Did you see Idiocracy Day 4?
He's gone. Bob, he's gone.
Do you know the movie Idiocracy? Have you seen Idiocracy?
No, I haven't.
Oh, see it. That's exactly what's going to be happening on January 20th.
So, wow, this is a rousing show. We haven't got to any content, really. Should I go back to Radio Venezuela and see what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay, let me do that. Tell us a little bit about this election. What is at stake, Bob?
Well, it's the kinetic versus the proprioceptive. You have the kinetic Chavez moving through Latin America, organizing a socialist tyranny, and you have the proprioceptive George Bush, who just lives in his White House and under house arrest and broadcasts and winks to the whole world. It's a battle of media images for the advertising dollar.
Is that it?
That's all it is. It's not even important. It's not relevant to our times. We're dealing with the collapse of everything right now, Greg.
Yeah, I know. You know what just collapsed?
The Canadian dollar.
A piece of a device in here that I really need. That's what just collapsed.
Really? For the Venezuela hookup? I hope not.
Well, it was sort of related to that, but what the heck?
You mean, Heizu will not get on?
I don't know. What happened here? Something went wrong. I'm gonna work on it. Don't worry. Carry on, Bob. Carry on. Don't let me down. What have you learned about this election? Have you learned anything substantive about this election that's going to occur today, or not?
Well, it's today's spectacle. There has to be a spectacle at least every other day, and there'll be some prominent action on Tuesday when the stock market plunges 2,000 points and then goes back up 3,000 on Wednesday, then goes down 4,000 on Thursday.
Hold on, Bob. This is you're on the air. You're on the air.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are. As a matter of fact.
Oh, okay. I've just come off a significant victory south of the border.
All right.
And I am both black and white, so I'd like to ask the radio hosts whether, and I'm a liberal.
Yes.
So I'd like to know whether I am a white liberal or a black liberal.
I think from your description, I would it be safe to say, this is really going out on a limb here. I've never done this before. What would you term yourself if you were, when you say you're white and black, would you say that that's what you are, or would you call yourself something else? That
well,
some people
my
might. Yeah.
Was born in Kansas.
Yeah.
And my father was visiting the U.S. from Kenya.
Oh, and then yeah. Mm-hmm.
With their combination, created the person that you hear over the airways right now.
I would say you are Obama.
Now, I would like to say that it is not about white liberals. It is not about black liberals. It is not about red liberals and not about blue liberals. The only thing that's important that we are the United Liberals of America, and I will have representatives up at that meeting tonight in Toronto.
Oh, please.
To find out what is really going on.
Good. Are you coming to the meeting?
Yes.
Or will you just...
I have people in Toronto there. I should be landing at about 4 o'clock myself. Take the highway on downtown, and I'll be there.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you there, and we'll determine...
I have a question for Mr. Obama.
Yeah.
Why did your ticket Obama-Biden as an anagram, if I change the letters, it comes out...
Looks like Osama bin Laden.
He says it looks like Obama sent bin Laden.
All right, no, but that's true. But I'm saying if you just take the letters Obama Biden, it becomes I am Bob Dean. I was wondering how that happened.
Well, again, it's not about being Barack Obama. It's not about being Joe Biden. It's about being the United ticket, the United Democratic ticket for the presidency of the United States. I don't want to get into Joe Biden. Get into Barack Obama, Osama bin Laden, or anybody else. It is about all of us coming together and moving forward in a common direction so that we can see this thing through.
And keeping Robert Gates as Secretary of Defense?
Well, there are those black liberals in the United States that think that I'm actually going to do a damn thing for them. There are the white liberals in the United States that think I'm going to do a damn thing for them. And they got to realize, okay, I lost my point. I'm going to give up now.
It was fantastic. Truly, truly fantastic. I appreciate that. Do you know, we have, let me pick up line three here, just a second. This is the third line. Hello, you're on the third line. Yeah, they didn't want to be on the third line. The third line is a very suspect line. Now,
the other people, the other station,
right?
The IUT. No, listen to this, Greg. He did show in the end by collapsing that he is a literate black because he couldn't keep the oral attention on himself. His oral rhythm collapsed there.
Go ahead, Bob. I'm trying to set up for this.
You're fending off the old community reps that are demanding airtime on the last hours.
I'm trying to do it.
Anyways, you got this battle between the virtual buyer and the virtual seller. That's Obama and Biden. If you look up Lucy Komisar, K-O-M-I-S-A-R, and read her article on the AIG, the American International Group, you will see that, as McLuhan pointed out, that the electric environment can't be bought, sold, or stolen. But the chip landscape, the chip technology went around the television, electronic, analog media, and allowed you to temporarily pretend to be a buyer and a seller and manipulate an environment that couldn't be bought, sold, or stolen. That is the epitome and summary of what's happened. Because if you build an economy on sand, you will end up with sand castles. And sand castles I witness disappearing every day on the beach here in Maui. So silicon, sand, virtual buyers claiming to sell something to virtual sellers and neither registering it, and then inflating it, this blurring of the accounting books drives Anna Marie Tremonti and the literate liberals bonkers. And that's why we have the all-literate Obama today as president. He's going to change the virtual economy. I'm going literate now. I'm stopping, Greg.
All right, I'm going to stop, too. We're just going to have complete silence for the moment. And I'm going to make the attempt, such as it is, to contact Venezuela. I'm doing it in rather primitive fashion here. Usually I have a more sophisticated setup, but...
It broke?
Something broke this morning. I one of my little devices is on the proverbial fritz, if I can say that, if that isn't...
Well, you've raised the energies here with your mania the past hour. It does affect technology.
Yeah. So we're going to attempt this call to Venezuela, to Jesus Rojas, and he is involved in the election. He's organizing for the election in Venezuela. Let's see whether we can get in touch with Jesus and get his perspective directly on the ground in, I guess it's Caracas, Venezuela. I don't know. He might be in some other locale, but let's see. We're trying to get in on a cell phone. It's always very difficult.
Do you do 011 first?
Yeah. It's ringing. This won't probably work. It never does. You're always trying to phone somebody from in another country, and they give you their cell phone, and it just it isn't going to work. Well, let's see.
I had that problem.
Everything stopped. No, there it is. It keeps going. Yeah, we're trying to get in touch with him, and I don't know. He's tried to contact me a few times in the week. Tried phoning here, but of course, he thought if I did a radio show that I actually have an office here.
Yes, but you have the technology.
There are only some people are allowed to. There's some people who get paid to do their programs, and have an office and a computer and can make it seem like they actually have something going on.
Yeah, like those Montreal guys who seduced Palin. He expected your aide to call his aide.
Right, and they think that we're all here working away on our little radio shows, that there's the infrastructure to do that, but oh no! There I am at International Connection headquarters, of my own making. Have to pay for the electricity, the computers, the technology, everything to try and put this together. It's a complete mess over there. I have to say, I haven't had time to clean up or anything. It's disks around. I'm trying desperately to catalog things. I need a full staff. I need an entire staff to really do this show properly. But, of course, how is that possible? It's not. So this is going to fail.
podcast.
We're failing. This is failing. This is just like what we were listening to with Radio Venezuela and Vivo.
Yes.
Just a complete failure of a radio station. Okay. I'll try that later. That's ridiculous.
It's still ringing, though. That's what's important. It's not disconnecting. You seem to have the right number.
Oh, I do have the right number. Well, let me try it again, all right? I'll...
Is it 01? Give us the number. Let's see here.
No, I can't give you his number. That would
well, the
then someone will try. Then some saboteur will try and phone the number, and then it'll tie it all up.
Yeah, but if you go 011, what is the country code?
It's here. I can't do two things at once. I'm a literate man. It's 58. 58 is the
okay.
Oh, so it's 13, Bob. So you got 011. That's bad enough, right?
Well, that's 2, and then 13 is 3 and 1 is 2. It's a 22.
Then it's 41. Actually, it's 58416. It's almost like a meme of Toronto. Yeah.
This is a 22.
And then it starts out with 75, which is like a hello. Hello. No, 75. That's very much a Scarborough type number. A lot of Scarborough numbers begin with 75.
Well, maybe since Dr. Beter said Canada was Bolshevik controlled, maybe Venezuela is an outpost of Canada and the secret Bolshevik government, as CKLN is, and there could be an overlap, a cloning of our societies here.
Yeah, this is hopeless. This is completely hopeless. Let's go back. I mean, everybody contacting one another, saying, okay, I'll be here, you'll be there, what time is it? We're not sure where it is, here, let's go, here's my number. And it comes absolutely I wish I could say what I wanted to say. It just comes to nothing, absolutely nothing. That's
It leaves room for callers, for local community action.
That's
Why
right.
Why do you need to care about Venezuela?
I don't even know. I could be calling someone who had a Spanish accent in Toronto and say they were from Venezuela. Right, I'd stand a better chance of things happening. Hey, if you have a Spanish accent, you want to phone in now and give me a full report as if you are from Venezuela.
Ah, there he is.
There it is. There's the person who's phoning in and you're on the air live from Venezuela. Go ahead.
Is 222
Yeah.
So is Bob predicting absolute collapse of the most important thing, the station? Because he has to change his prediction because, like, his predictions work. Greg, you predict that it won't, that it will fail, then it won't.
Oh, I have to predict it will fail?
You don't want to do that, do you?
Oh, you bet I don't want to do that. No, I don't even know what that's something that's in that isn't even in the handbook. I don't even want to. I've looked through the bylaws, the handbook, everything. You even get involved in that topic, and I think that's out of the question. I think CKLN is immortal. I think it's invulnerable. It's like Superman. And
as long as Bob's there, because
exactly.
There
that's
it is.
My point. That's why I'm back on these
so
times
and places. The religious. We're getting religious. That's bad.
Nobody.
We'll have to have Daniel back to save us. He's hiding from God,
nature.
Isn't he?
Hiding from God?
Maybe not.
Okay. Well, that brings in Lenny Bloom. Lenny Bloom is the local Christian fundamentalist here.
So did you check into the Venus thing, the caller at the end of the show?
Yeah, last week.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Venus.
Oh, you know, did you do? You did send me that, didn't you, Bob? It won't matter. That caller will only tune in at 10:25, right near the end of the show.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we got to do. That was our new tyranny. We are all calls are cut off at what 10 to 10?
Yeah, we're getting close.
Yeah, I mean that's it. You're going to call in. You got to call in now because we ain't accepting calls. It's like the October 27th deadline for El Macombo.
Yeah.
Same principle.
So we're vamping. Sir Vamps-a-Lot.
Oh, hold on. Let's see what's going on. There, see, this is En Vivo. This is a station that's going to give us information about the Venezuelan election. Here's what they're playing now. It's the same the world over. All of this sort of amateur radio, they're always going to music. They can't keep up any type of dialogue for even a moment.
They're not literate.
Yes, well, we've been around technology more than them, you know?
I guess so. But what about the people here? I've tuned into whole spoken word programs where they play nothing but music. I won't say what station that is on,
yeah,
because I can't.
The BBC
music repeats itself.
I mean, it... Oh, okay. I can't take it. All right. Thanks very much for your call. Okay, let's get on with something here, something that I've been holding off for weeks. We'll go back to Radio En Vivo. Maybe occasionally I'll try to go and speak to Jesus Rojas, who never answers his phone. We've probably got the times all wrong. It's probably 3 o'clock in the morning there or something. We'll take a call. Who knows? We'll take a little call here. Maybe this is someone calling from Venezuela. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Guess what?
Because
I've been listening since 8:30, and I'm not going to call in at 10:25, and it was called Zeitgeist Addendum, and the Venus Project was part of it.
I sent that to Greg.
Obviously, you didn't.
Well, you know, Bob did send that to me. He did due diligence on this, and I have been so active quite frankly stressed about the meeting that's going to happen tonight at CKLN. Just let me ask you a question here, caller. As soon as you phone in, seeing as you're such an aficionado of the station, I assume unless you found this program singularly interesting and only listen then and go off to the CBC afterwards, have you ever been a member of CKLN? As far as you know.
No, I've not been a member, but I have donated in the past.
Oh, really? And why would you feel that you weren't a member in the past? Because
I didn't donate enough money.
Well, actually, give me... I mean, I know that you don't have to tell me, but...
I got a T-shirt.
Okay, if you got a T-shirt, actually...
Back in the days of a T-shirt... you'd get a T-shirt.
In the past, you were a member. You were actually a member. How many years ago would this T-shirt be, let's say? It's okay. Don't be. I'm not doing this to be.
I'm one of the original listeners of this station.
Okay. Let me give you some information about membership in the organization. Now, what happens is that the board of directors, that esteemed group of people, mm-hmm. can get together, and at their whim, decide on any amount of money that the community members have to pledge, have their contribution. In other words, my contribution to the organization is that I spend inordinate amounts of time doing this program.
You guys have really bad politics going on right there right now. I wouldn't even want to go near that place. I don't really.
What about our politics? What about the politics going on this particular show?
Oh, well, you guys are crazy. That's why I recommended Zeitgeist Addendum, because it was right up your alley. And it's good fodder for your show.
Is it a movie? It's a movie.
I
know the people who made it.
Who made it, Bob?
Jordan, I forget his last name, but these are people that worked with Eben Ray. And they are the extremists of the conspiracy fringe nut world.
Yeah.
And Jordan
but
is a great speaker,
so
and his main point is that all religions there come from the sun-worshipping pagan cult.
Now he's going on about the conspiracy part, but this one I liked because it didn't have any kind of conspiracy really about it. Anyway, I thought you might be interested.
What did it talk about?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
What did they talk about? What is it, Bob? Let me translate. Sorry, go ahead, Bob.
What did they talk about then in the addendum?
What did they talk about in the addendum?
Different from the original?
Yes, I'm talking about the original. I have not seen the addendum. Then
we're not talking about the same thing. That's why I said don't go to the original. There are two different things.
Listen. Mm-hmm. Let's stop this. Let's stop this madness right now.
I know.
On Sunday. there, I've got everybody's attention. I'm like the CBC at 8:30 every Monday through Friday. Do you have access to email? By any chance?
Do you want me to send it to you?
If you could,
I talked to a listener
last night or the other day, and he was giving me. I won't say he was complaining. He was suggesting things. I'll take it as a suggestion, and he was saying, you know, you should have more of this or more of that. What about this topic and so on? And I really do consider that the audience that listens to this show, if you're interested, and if you feel, as you probably do, going, why isn't Greg talking about this or that?
Well, I wasn't even the one that asked. Somebody else said.
Was
it
somebody
else? Are
we going
to be talking about the Venus Project today?
I know. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining about you. I'm saying, if you do have something, please if you do have access to email, which is, you know, easier than sending something in and less costly than sending something in mail, assuming, of course, that you use the Internet for some other purpose.
But I don't know if your email, though.
I know. I'm going to give it to you right now. International Connection at Rogers.com.
Okay, easy
enough. International Connection at Rogers.com. Now, I want just hold on the line just a second. So, I'm going to use you as an example for others.
Wait, before you go in, I sent you Zeitgeist Addendum. I have not watched it. I have watched the original Zeitgeist. I'm asking the caller, what is the theme, if it's non-conspiratorial, in the addendum? What is it?
There's four sections. One of them sets up a very difficult for me to say. That's, I guess, why.
Forget it.
Greg, let her say
all
it.
All right, okay.
Okay, but it's not like the conspiracy one that was the first.
What
Zeitgeist.
Is it? Is it about the sun and sun worship?
No. That was the original one from years ago.
What is it? You can say it.
That's why I was suggesting this one. This one sort of encapsulates what you guys talk about a lot of the time, and a lot of politics, and then the Venus Project is something separate that is a possible future that would be right up your alley too.
Okay, let's go to Radio in Vivo right now. Stay on the line, but
okay, Tamara, thank you very much. Let's be in touch later today for another report from the streets of Mérida.
Okay.
It's Gay Pride Day.
So that's refreshing. Normal turnout, early turnout at the polls in Mérida. No rain today, says Tamara.
It's like Andy with his weather reports.
Did leave dozens of families displaced or with that.
Who could possibly listen to that? Anyway, getting back to being a member of CKLM, which is the most important thing. And again, the AGM is tonight. The annual general meeting of CKLN is tonight at the Elma Combo. Fun will be had by all, inside and out, I'm sure. The thing is that the just to explain here about what happens with this threshold of membership for community people, it's set by the board of directors. I mean, theoretically, the board of directors could say, "We now say that the threshold of membership is $10,000." I mean, that is within the bylaws of CKLN. They can do that. Now, the other thing that when you were a member, technically, when the AGM was announced, you should have received some notice of it, either by phone or by mail, or if it was in the realm, in the time when there was email and you had it by email. In some way, you were supposed to have been contacted about this, because if you are a member, and you would have been at that time, if to get a T-shirt, it's like $25, $35, something like that, dollars, you would have been a member at that time. But the amount was upped at some point. I'm not even sure. I'd have to look at the minutes. The invisible minutes of the corporation to find out exactly when this this threshold was increased, and I'm trying to get those. We'll see. I can give a specific date once I have them. But so that's what the story is. Now, why is it important? And I understand your own personal opinions, caller. But the thing is that I think that this station needs two good community representatives who can acquit themselves and, for the purposes of this corporation, in a fine manner, to bring good values and to act honestly and fairly in the to protect the corporation and to and deal with its bylaws. And if there are problems with the bylaws, then we have to endeavor to change those things. And that would be within your realm to do. And then of course you have to get 80% of the membership to agree with you at a meeting you call.
But there's a lot of nasty stuff that's going on there right now.
There was nasty.
Has been going on that people don't want to. I don't want to get involved in any of that. I mean, it's terrible the stuff that's been going.
Well.
You can't even. I don't even think you're allowed to say the stuff that you've just been saying. I mean, aren't people getting kicked off their shows because they've been voicing their opinions?
I would say that I have stayed personally. I think I've stayed right within the realm of what I can say, and I think that I'm being. I think I'm reflecting the corporation in a real sense. And
yes, and you
you've been accused of firing those people.
I have been. I have actually been accused. Yes, I've been accused of actually doing that. I've had the people who got kicked out. They think I'm in charge. They arrive as a mob at meetings and push people over and try to and assault people and claiming to want fair treatment where they barge into rooms and actually knock people to the floor and then but before they do that they then verbally assault me and say that I am somehow responsible for all this. In fact, I've had one of them say, "You ruined CKLN. I ruined CKLN. Me." And I'd like to know how that happened. And talk about nastiness. This is something I can talk about. Talk about nastiness. Do you know what happened to us? Do you know what happened to Daniel and me 2 years ago?
And then for a very long time, I heard apologies, which on several different shows. So I do know what happened there.
Yeah, and Gary, and you
some
know Gary.
Some of my shows are gone now too.
Do you know Gary Topp? Do you know Gary Topp?
I do actually.
Do you know Gary Topp? Do you know what?
I've known him for a few years. Yeah.
Gary Topp. I can say this now because Gary Topp is no longer a programmer at the station. He's no longer a member. Gary Topp, when that apology was played, which was a legal requirement, shall I say, part of our settlement that brought us back to the air. When that apology was played, after it was played, he said, "Apologies, apologies, apologies." You know, like always apologies, all world's apologies. Because he didn't quite evidently agree with that we should come back on the air. He felt that we should have been off and he should have been on. And yet, I don't think he knew anything. I never even talked to Gary Topp about this thing. I don't even know what he knows about it. But the thing is that this guy who goes around calling people, tarring them with the name KKK, which are, I guess, are people who walk around in hoods and lynch people from trees.
Literate people.
I mean, this is the kind. I mean, I'm not going to come down on the supporting any particular side here of Endeavor, but the thing is that when you do that, I will speak to that because that directly interfered with my rights.
And that's what
I don't know Gary in that light because Gary, I only know his public personality, which
is very sweet. Everybody's sweet on the air. Let me tell you something. Let me reveal something to you, and I have to be very careful here with what I say. There's a radio broadcaster in town who does a program on the radio every week. I learned in the last couple of days that this person referred to me as, and Daniel too, as Ku Klux Communists. Hey, it's clever, isn't it? It's funny.
Yeah, it is clever.
But it's like saying, but what is it saying? Well, how do you interpret that, really, beyond the funniness of it, beyond the wordplay?
Well, I don't know. I just interpret that as meaning that you're troublemakers.
No. It means
okay,
that we're...
Okay, you mean deeper level. Okay.
Oh, come on.
You're not even human.
Come on. It says you're a racist. You're a communist. You're a fake communist. You're a racist communist. That's the kind of
Well, I'm not going to defend them, right? Okay, so...
Well, so the thing is that when you talk about nastiness... When you talk about brutality, when you talk about all of this, I agree with you. There's a lot of it floating around. But it isn't just concentrated in one area, and it hasn't been. And you're right, the public persona of people, their public persona. Mr. Topp actually transcended his public persona at one point by then coming out and saying that people were members of the KKK. And that he disagreed with them. He disagreed with them about something, and he had a conflict with them. I mean, it's one thing to have that, but to reach the level, to say KKK. I mean, I just think that's beyond the pale. Really,
well, it's kind of beneath him. So I guess it probably something must have reached a level that brought him down to his lower self. What can I say?
But the thing is, you can see why. The whatever information you have, you see, there's a lack of information that's going on. And frankly, if I went into it on this program, it would bore almost everybody in the audience, frankly. And even in this whole show, which is which has been sort of talking about because of the AGM and the excitement around it and because of the controversy, shall we say, around it, that I can definitely say has occurred, it's It brings up.
So what you're doing, Greg, no meeting has ever been discussed on the air like this before. I mean,
yeah, I guess I'm doing something that hasn't been done.
Trouble.
I don't. We'll see. The thing is, I don't think.
No, Greg can't get into trouble.
No.
You have to understand this. Call. Understand the settlement.
Apologies again.
No. Gary Topp, when he said apologies, that allowed the Greg apologies to be continued. And it's been still going on because they keep breaking the laws. So then the lawyer calls in and says, okay, replay that because you didn't follow the rules.
Right. And it's like having an ad played and the ad didn't play and you have to have it done again. And the same thing happened with Denise Benson. Denise Benson did it. It was even more pointed. She actually went on the air and said she didn't agree with it before she played it.
Like, how many years has she been on? Just so many shows have been around for so long that are gone all
21
of a sudden,
years.
So.
Yeah, but the thing is, do you think that, like, look at the rest of the media. Look at what was going. Think back. I don't know how old you are, but think back to what was happening in 1988 in the media landscape. Is it even beyond Peter Mansbridge, perhaps still doing the National? I mean, why is it that? Do you think if I came on the air here and said, you know, I feel it's my right to be here for the next 20 years doing this show, would you think I was being a little bit ahead of myself?
Oh, I think that pretty much nails it, yeah. Well, I've always listened to alternative radio, so I'm not very much of a Peter Mansbridge person myself. So.
The thing is that I think anybody who thinks that they can sort of have territorial sway over, almost like they own an area of a community radio station.
That is a privilege to be on.
Yeah, that's a privilege. We're told it's a privilege to be on. Why is it that they never think...
Who are you applying this to?
What?
Who are you applying this to? Who are you saying said this?
Who said what? That it's a privilege to be on?
Who are you applying this to?
Oh, I've been told since the moment I've got here, whenever there's any controversy about what we do, that it's a privilege to be here. And to be on the air.
Yes, I know what you're talking about last week
when I said that I didn't agree with that I'm sick of Remembrance Day in the, not in the sense that I do think that tremendous sacrifices were made by a lot of people for some reason or another. Do I agree with the reasons? Well, I'm not quite sure, but certainly fighting Hitler was something that absolutely needed to be done and. So I'm not disparaging some of the things that people have done, but in any event, they were forced to do it, in the main. People.
And your point is.
And the point is, I'm lost my point completely. Where were we? I'm not sure.
We're talking about
Denise Benson.
Oh yeah.
Referring to him or the person who said it was a privilege? What's the caller referring
to? Yeah.
Well, I guess that's what I was referring to. Like, what are you saying that she's. She wasn't entitled to be on the air because it sounded like that's what you were implying.
No.
Well, I mean, obviously she was entitled to be on the air because she was on the air for years. It's just that the thing is that I'm not speaking specifically. You said she's been on for so long. It's like suggesting that it should have been another 21.
She's been on for so long, and I've been listening to her show.
Okay,
so
well maybe she. I mean, after 21 years, if there's such a following, why is it that if this person had an interest in broadcasting, why wouldn't you think that some other broadcasting outfit would say, come on, let's come over on and do a 3-hour show over here, you know? And then it would free up some time at a community media station where either a student or another community member who might aspire to do this kind of thing could have a chance. Otherwise, nobody has a chance. Do you think that in a sense, you are occupying some territory, me included, that really someone else might be, you know, would be interested in doing and might do a good job. And
it is a privilege.
Well, I thought she did a pretty good job.
And you can't get on 21 years ago and say, I'm going to be on here for the next 21 years.
I'm not commenting about whether anybody does a good job or not. I mean, there's some people who've been on for 20 years and are horrible. At some other stations, not this one at all. But
no.
and there's some people who have been on another station for years and years, and that are great, depending on your subjective opinion of their work. It's just that the idea that someone has more right to a grievance because they've been on the station long, just surely they've been on the station longer. So if I've been here for 8 years and I do something, and they say, well. And somebody else does something, they've been here for 20, same thing. do I get kicked off the station or whatever, suffer some punishment because I've been here for less time and they've been here for more? Do my ideas have less sway or less interest because I haven't been here that long? Do you see how this idea doesn't really work? And even in the broadcast landscape, I mean, beyond The Simpsons, what show goes on for more than 20 years? We're used to shows ending, you know, and new shows beginning. Sometimes we regret that they're gone, you know, but we have to accept sometimes, even the CBC, you know, they got rid of this goth guy, whatever it is. I don't know too much about him. Danny brought it up. His show's over. And, like, is there mass outcry? We must have him on? And, you know, forever? He has to go on forever? Well, look at Andy Barry. It looked like he was going to be on forever, and then he had to leave because of some family emergency. Things end. They do end, either through death or because things run out. The idea that...
I'm running out of time, so what I'm going to do...
So am I.
I'm going to send the link to your email, and then you take a look at it. If you want to use it for fodder, it would be fun. It's kind of like there's two sections. There's the Venus Project, which may be kind of too Shangri-La de Dada, but you might find the other stuff really interesting.
Thank you, and thank you very much for your call.
Okay, bye, Greg.
That begs the mention that if you do have any stories that you think we should be covering and that would save me time in going and looking at, and I have people sending me YouTube things. Like last night, Robert sent me a video of Sarah Palin standing in the foreground doing an interview at a farm, while in the background, a farmer takes huge turkeys, turns them upside down, puts them into some device where they cut their heads off, and blood is pouring all over the ground. And she's going on about how fun it is to be at this particular event that day because of Thanksgiving. And you just see this, you know, he's shaking the turkey to get the blood out of it. And it's absolutely enough to put you off any type of eating meat at all. And she's, it's just a disgusting video. Listeners, do send me information. It's rare, but it happens, at internationalconnection@rogers.com. Please feel free to do it. And it really is interesting for me to see what you find interesting. And if you find it interesting, chances are I will too. And then that goes on to our audience. So in many ways, you are part of, or can be part, of me putting together this program. And I appreciate any input that you might give me. And let's go over to the In Vivo again. Yeah, they're back to music again.
I had something to say, is that the caller, you can experience the music and spoken word of CKL and know nothing and ignore the politics of the literate bureaucracies, which is run by oil people. They're two different worlds.
Yeah, what I found funny is I was talking to people over the last few days who listened to the station. They said, yeah, they're worried about letting people in. It's like there has to be a gatekeeper at this place. Like, we can't let people who are right-wing in, right-wing students. Like, there are 23,000 students, evidently, that are members of CKLN. And but people are worried that some of those students might not have the right thoughts, but they have the right to be not only a member, but they have a right, to come and volunteer. And
look, the literate people are worried about spoken word content. The oral people love the musing. It doesn't matter who the programmer is. It's their albums they play.
Right. I wonder whether there's never any thought whether the music programmers are right-wing racists, perhaps, you know, or homophobes or whatever.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be any litmus test in that area. It's just in the area of the spoken word. You have to
have
a certain type of politic in order to get on and speak about things. And
when I used to go to meetings, Greg, you know, 20 years ago, there was never any music programmers. They knew nothing about what was going on with Adam Vaughn and the politics and the bickering and all that stuff with Putnam Cosley. They were in another world. They just did their job and played music, and that's the majority of the CKLN experience.
And they went on and plugged their DJ gigs over and over and over again, they were going to be on Tuesday, where they were going to be on Wednesday, when they were going to be on all of these days, what club they were going to be at, how they were going to be spinning this and spinning that and so on. And
their new album's coming out, their new mix.
Their mix CD. Yeah. When that's going to come out, where you can get it, go to this website and so on, which probably invariably means maybe
they're
it's a free download.
They're the capitalists. They don't
don't worry about government. They don't like government. They don't deal with the politics behind the scenes. They're on there making money.
Yeah, and the excuse is, we've got to get our message out. You know, we got to get our message out.
Yeah, his her message.
So,
and this goes on the other stations. It does not go on at CKLM.
No, that doesn't happen here. It's at the other place. You can listen and...
despicable. That's why we're the best station. We are pure.
It's despicable, I tell you. It's despicable. And
alive,
pickable. So, here, do it live. You know, I can't do it live. I'm sorry. I will do it live next week. It's 416-595-1655. We're getting up to that magic time when people all start to phone in at the same time. And speaking of phoning, why don't I try to get head tuck with Jesus again here?
Remember Foo Fighters said he loved the quiet nature of our show? Well, this ain't too quiet, is it?
No, it's not quiet at all. But it gets a little quieter.
You're really worked up. You are going to be tired after the show, Greg.
Oh, I'm tired after every show.
But no, really.
Oh, I know.
You were tired last week, and this is even high. The decibels are higher, Greg. You're tremendous today, Greg.
I was tired yesterday just in anticipation of even thinking about doing the show, just doing the show, let alone preparing for it. At around 6 o'clock, I thought, I just can't take this, the stress. I got to get into bed. I crawled into bed, and then I got up,
I called.
And then other people phoned, and it's all this stress about this thing that's AGM tonight at the El Macambo. El Macambo, 6 p.m., the CKLN AGM. So if you've crossed the threshold of membership at this great station, which evidently is paying $50 or more prior to or on the date of October 27th, I've reached a woman. This is hopeless. Oh, hello? Oh, this is this calling Venezuela bit is. I hate that. That's why some people will think, why is Greg ranting all the time? I guess he loves the sound of his own voice. Of course I do. But the idea of having to make these phone calls and to people in lands and they've got cell phones.
Remember 2 years, 3 years ago, you had that political prisoner down in Jamaica, that woman who used to be a CKLN or something, and she was in exile, and you couldn't even get her on the phone.
Yeah, exactly. I begged this guy in the email. I said, can you get to a landline? Can you just get to a landline? You know, and he goes, and he writes me back, and he goes, what do you mean a landline? And I'm going, okay, we'll try to do it with a cell phone, all right? We'll try and do it with a cell phone. You're on the air.
Hi, Greg. It's Dave.
Oh, it's Dave, too. This is following your tremendous live appearance when you do it live last week.
Yeah, well, I'd like to respond to that email you got.
All right. Go ahead.
You know, I don't know if that guy knows or not, but it's kind of hard to get a word. Is it edgeways or edgewise, Greg?
Either way, it's wise.
I think we've done some, I think over the phone once, Dave, too. Didn't we do some... testing on whether it was that, and we couldn't come to a real determination. Let's go. I'll say word in edgewise.
Okay, well, it's hard to get a word in it, whatever it is. And but now I learned you just have to jump in there. And, you know, I had material, Greg, but we didn't really get to it. So.
Right. He's talking about it. I was going to ask. He was criticized, Greg. Earlier today, they said Dave too flubbed it. He just was too quiet.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll try. Tell him I'll try to do better.
Remember, it's a very strange experience for Dave, too, to be here in live in this strange environment. He's used to his own habitat.
That's right.
And
he had to look at you. That threw him off.
That totally threw him off. And then someone came in and Kissinger was there at one point, and that just threw him off. He was used to hearing Kissinger, not seeing Kissinger. he couldn't believe it. He goes, oh my God, Kissinger actually showed up.
Yeah, well, I had material. We didn't get to it, so I could maybe use it some other time.
All right. Well, I'm game for it any time, as long as there is another time.
Okay. See, that's the thing. He's talking just like you, Greg. You come in with all this material and never get to it because we take calls and chaos.
Yeah, chaos ensues. Let's see what.
Le Municipio Libertador, dans lequel nous nous trouvons en ce moment.
Oh, they're on French now. They're swapping languages down there at Radio Venezuela or envivo.blogspot.com. They're now into the French, I guess. So the English is over. That was a pitiful English language broadcast, I have to say. If that's an example of what the Bolivarian Revolution is like in English, it's maybe it's already happening here, and it's just not playing very well.
Can I do one of my bits right now?
Yeah, please do it. Do it live.
You remember the story about the people on a motorcycle who squirted the girls in the face?
Do you know, I did catch wind of that. I did catch wind of that, but I found it such a horrifying story, I skipped by it, you know?
Well, at the end of the broadcast, on all the stations, they said that, you know, the Taliban, they don't like girls going to school. So they were kind of wrapping it up for us. But I heard... In other words,
what you're saying, Dave, too, is that the media implied that the person who perpetrated this horrible crime against these young, innocent girls, they were implying that they were the Taliban without any proof.
Maybe, but it could have been a coincidence. But, you know, I heard, I was reading an article from the Kandahar Weekly.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, it was about the same story. Mm-hmm. You know the way they framed it?
No.
They said that two persons on a motorcycle sprayed a damaging substance on five women on a sidewalk. And then they said the Americans love to ride motorcycles.
That's great.
Dave, here's the thing. You had kinetic people on the bike spraying literate people on behalf of the oral people. There's the media dynamics there. Kinetic, movement, motorbike, spraying the literate kids on behalf of the oral Taliban.
Those are pretty accurate squirt guns, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Very accurate, especially from a motorcycle. I watched Mission Impossible 2 on the television the other day, and they were doing some very accurate motorcycle riding at the tail end of that movie, let me tell you.
Yeah, see what I mean?
Might have been Tom Cruise.
Okay, bye, Bob, and yeah, I'll talk to you later, Bob, even though you wouldn't talk last time when I was in the studio. You said something about what community
you
represent.
I appreciate you, Dave.
Something. I thought he was being hostile, Greg.
Yeah, do you? Well, Dave often thinks that there is a hostile behavior towards him.
How do you know that?
I've heard... all right, okay, I'll back
Very
off.
Good.
I'll
yeah,
back off, Bob.
Off. Don't mess with Dave.
Yeah, Dave, too. Thank you, Dave, too.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Lovely call from Dave, too.
A great member of the CKLM community.
Yes, I absolutely concur with you on that, Bob. The let's do a bit of good stuff here before we end. Something where we actually hit some content that isn't related to this station. Believe me, the AGM will be over next week. There'll be no excitement. Everything will.
It won't happen. It'll be canceled.
Who knows? It could happen, but it'll be interesting watching it getting canceled. It's anyway the. You know about the Rosenbergs, don't you, Bob? When I mention those names, do you know how? What do you think?
Julius and Ethel.
Right. Well, some transcripts were released recently. They were unsealed, and there was a petition filed to have them released. And there were 300 pages of transcripts from the Brothman Moskowitz grand jury, and they reveal new details about the testimony of Elizabeth Bentley, the so-called Red Spy Queen, and Harry Gold, who led authorities to David Greenglass and the Rosenbergs. And in addition, the National Archives and Records Administration of the United States released the testimonies of Vivian Glassman, Edith Levitov, and Frank Willentz from the Rosenberg Grand Jury. Now, remember, that this happened in the early 50s. This is has taken over 50-some-odd years to be released.
Almost 60 now. Almost 60.
Almost 60. The release of these, quoting someone, Meredith Fuchs, the National Security Archives General Counsel, the release of these additional grand jury records marks an important victory for historians, archivists, and the American people. It adds to the historical record on the most important espionage trial in American history, which was a defining moment of the Cold War and helps us understand how our society responded to the threat of Soviet espionage. Now, I could go on and give you details about all of this, and essentially, I just want to talk about the Rosenbergs. And they weren't really at the top of this chain, and it seems to reveal that that Ethel Rosenberg had extremely little to do with this and probably didn't even know what was, well, she didn't type up things and didn't hand anything over to anybody, so it would appear. But I just want to say that what their crime was, you know, cumulatively, and they took the fall for it, was that they were charged with or allowing Joseph Stalin and the Soviet Union to develop the nuclear weapon and to do so in the late 40s. And then they were blamed for the Korean War. These all of these American people were, who they claimed were the American government, were traitors. They claimed that they had perpetrated the made possible the Korean War. And so what I want to say is, in reading this, it reminds me of what heroes, international heroes, the Rosenbergs were, and all of these people that supplied to our great ally during World War II, the Soviet Union, the plans to develop a nuclear weapon. Because can you imagine a world where the United States, Britain, France, and maybe other countries had this horrific weapon and how it might have been used and how it was used against the Japanese, but how it might have been used against their ideological enemies and former allies. The Rosenbergs and all these people, most of them were Jewish people. I salute you. They saw the great Soviet Union as their allies to in defeating Hitler, this terrible anti-Semite, anti-Jewish person, anti-communist, anti-Roma person, anti-anybody who believes in decency. The Rosenbergs saw that the great Soviet Union was vulnerable after the war against these horrible criminals that ran the United States and run continue to run the United States, Britain, and I will say here that I, according to a passport I have, I'm evidently a citizen of the United Kingdom as well as being a citizen of Canada. That these horrible criminals that are on the lead of our society. Think of the horrible damage they would have done, that they needed this counterforce to maintain stability in the world. And I'm so glad that Joseph Stalin, the great leader of the Soviet Union, that they supported, these people supported him and paid with their lives. The Rosenbergs paid for this. Evidently, I guess it is traitorous to do this on American terms, but for the world, it was a great thing. So there you have it. There's my view of the Rosenbergs Revisited. You can read all about the controversies surrounding the various individuals, and some of them whom are still alive that were involved in this. Anyway, after that diatribe, Bob, you're on the air. You're a listener. We'll give you precedence, even though we're not supposed to take calls after 10 minutes to 10. You are on the air.
Pure street reggae music on your radio, DKLN 88.1 FM. Run the rhythm, Maya. River music, hear this. She come to your border with her suitcase in her hand. Load your ass, girl.
Yeah, we're going all reggae soon. that's the message of that call. We're going all reggae. It's going to be like jazz. That's a nonprofit station, the CGRT. It went all jazz. It used to have educational literate programs on and fantastic British comedy and British game shows from 50 years ago that they would replay that were still fascinatingly clever and witty. We were denied that after a while. There was once a fantastic British community here, but now they've dissipated and become...
Yes,
Americanized, as Britain itself has, and so it had to go all jazz, you see. So there's a good possibility, as I see it, that there could be room in Toronto for a completely all reggae station. And I don't even know where that clip came from. Is that an old clip? It sounds like something from long, long ago.
I think that was Lord Selector.
Maybe, yes, it could be.
Lord Selector. But Greg, before the show ends, I want to clarify what happened with the Rosenbergs. Is that the Rockefellers created the Rosenbergs, created the channels for the information to get to the Soviet Union, because the Rockefellers wanted a balance. Nuclear deterrence, because they didn't want the global village and their business, world business empire, to be blown up. And so that's why Elger Hitch got nailed by Nixon, and the Rockefellers 20 years later nailed Nixon with Watergate. That was a revenge for the Rosenberg Elger Hitch case.
Did you hear that, Bob?
Yes.
That means that this show is coming to an end.
And we're coming up to
I've
the sad
seen
part.
The,
coming up to the sad part.
Yes, I've seen... those two people who were evidently drinking too much last night, they have to do it. It's part of their show. They drink heavily on the previous night. They get completely, can I say pissed? Completely pissed on the previous night. And then they come in and do a program called the, they're looking absolutely stunned at me. I mean, you've got a show called The Gross Hangover. I mean, isn't it? What? Isn't it your duty to get completely pissed the night before and have a horrible hangover, isn't it? Or be headachy and isn't it?
Well, it's fair of you to say that, given the name of the show, but I must inform you that last week we decided on a name change. So this morning. This morning, we're not hungover. We had a nice, clean, sober
What's it
going to
be called?
Night.
The Tucker and Medley Show, is it? Or Tucker and Medley Live?
It is. Have there been comments about this?
I don't know.
We're calling it Choice Cuts. That's
what?
The new name, Choice Cuts.
Choice Cuts.
Yes.
Okay, name change, everybody. Name change just to confuse everybody. If you got used to people getting drunk the night before and coming in trying to do a program under terrible, headachy conditions, it's now called Choice Cuts.
Nice
All right?
and clean. That's
Choice
nice.
Cuts. Nice
like
and
to,
clean.
We like to keep it clean.
All right. Okay.
Name
well, don't butcher
cuts.
The show, all right?
Choice Cuts. And yeah. Hello to Rebecca.
Okay, this is going to be... please, Rebecca, put something in and get it set so I can play the disclaimer and move on.
An interview
move
Dave
on
Neufeld.
To... And dude, and yes, and Bob says to interview Dave Neufeld. That's I guess that isn't part of Choice Cuts. That was part of a gros hangover. The end of the program. Oh, hold on. I did have a little before. If you can indulge me here, where was I? I have to go back there. And I did have something to end the program with. Where is it? Here's the.
Viva Chavez.
Viva Chavez. Let's hope that that he wins today or whatever is intended. And
whatever's intended, that's a good one.
whatever is intended, and I don't have it. So let's just go. Where is it? Are you ready?
Yep.
It's okay. Here's I've got to play the disclaimer. That's extremely important. Let me do that first because we can't go to the next show without this disclaimer. And here it is. Goodbye for another week.
The views expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated.